this week we're going to bring that scope of missions a lot closer to home and consider our own community. Now next week we're going to talk about I'm going to call it our realm of influence. Okay, so next week we're going to be talking about missions and purposeful ministry in our lives to those very specifically around us. And I don't just mean those people who live next door, but those people that we work with, family members, relatives, friends of ours, individuals who are within our realm of influence. Today, though, we're going to talk about missions within our community, within our geographical area. And we're going to consider the greater Grand Rapids area kind of as our geographical area. Now, I know some of you live in places that are farther out where maybe you would consider different places your geographical area. But we're going to kind of think of Grand Rapids as our corporate community and our corporate area of in which we can be involved in some specific ministries and missions within our lives. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. James, chapter 1, 26 and 27. In James, chapter 1, verse 26, James says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." Then James 1:27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Now last week we spent a fair amount of time looking at areas of injustice, looking at areas within our world, areas of need. And we saw that God continued to have a heart for individuals in their areas of need. We talked about the hungry, and we looked at a lot of verses that talked about the hungry and the thirsty and those who didn't have shelter. We see God continuing to have a heart and a desire and a longing for individuals who would fit into those places in their lives. Here we see James say, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So for us in our lives to realize and attempt to have that same heart that God has for those in need, for us also then to have that same heart that God has in that, to look after widows and orphans in their times of need and to keep our lives from the corruption of the world, to keep our lives from being polluted by the world. You see, we find two more places in which individuals can be which God has a heart for them, for the widows, for the orphans. That desire that God has for those who long after Him to seek after them and to bring them help, to bring them the needs that they have in their lives. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at two different examples of individuals in the book of Acts who were purposeful in meeting the needs of people around them. In Acts chapter 9, verse 36, I'm thinking specifically of physical needs of people around them. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. It says in Acts 9:36, "In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated as Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor." Who is always doing good and helping the poor. Is this a nice thing to say about her? Isn't that a nice thing? That what she was known for, that her character, that who she was someone who was always doing good. She's someone who's always doing good and who was helping the poor. That says a lot about who she was. It says a lot about what she did, about her life, about the things that were important to her. You see, clearly, she had that same heart that God has for those in need. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And what a blessing that comes as the thing that we know most about who she is. Amen? That was so purposeful in her life that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Let's look over just one chapter, Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and we're going to see another example, this time of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It says, "At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, 'Cornelius.' Cornelius stared at him in fear. 'What is it, Lord?' he asked. The angel answered, 'Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea.'" And it goes on in chapter 10, talks about this meeting between Peter and Cornelius and the way that the Lord had worked in their lives and in their hearts and the ministry that God had given through that. But we see in Cornelius a few things that are mentioned specifically about his character, about who he is, about the kind of life that he lived. It says in verse 2, "He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly." And then when the angel comes to him, the angel answers him when he says, "What is it, Lord?" The last part of verse 4, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Do you think then that Cornelius' prayer, that was an important part of the things that he did? If his prayer was lifted before God, came up to God as an offering to him, wouldn't you say that was a good thing then? Positive thing? Maybe something we should be following that example and having prayer as a regular part of our lives? Good! I would agree! I also think that if that was something that Cornelius was about, and the angel says to him, your prayer came to God as an offering to him, as a memorial offering to God, I'd say, great, then that's something that we need to be about. Then prayer is something that we need to be about. If indeed that was a memorial offering to God, then prayer is something that we need to be about. But the angel also said, not only was it the prayer that came before God as a memorial offering, but also his gifts to the poor. His prayer and gifts to the poor. Now, since all of us agreed under heavy, heavy, heavy compulsion, after all of us agreed that indeed our prayers are something that we ought to be about, as Cornelius was, since that was a memorial offering to God, then don't you also think that giving to the poor is something that we also ought to be about, since that also was a memorial offering before God? That there was so much importance to that, that the angel specifically said, "Your prayers and gifts to those in need were brought as a memorial offering to God." Don't you think that's something we also ought to be about? Okay, amen. Now why is that? Why is it? Because God loves people. Right? God loves people. He loves people. He doesn't only love those who live a certain lifestyle that's exactly like yours. He doesn't only love people that live in the same place that you live. He doesn't only love people who live in the same nation or the same country as you. He doesn't only love people who have the same belief system as you. God loves people. He loves people. God's desire is for man's heart. God's desire is for the heart of man. His desire is that all men would come to repentance. And that repentance is a repentance in Jesus Christ that leads to salvation. God's desire is that every man, and I say that of mankind, every man and woman, every individual, every person, every heart would come to salvation through repentance, through confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, and through faith in the fact that God raised him from the dead. That's God's desire. And so when God tells us, through Jesus Christ, that our ultimate commandment, priority, is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, that love ought to be that same love that God has for our neighbor. That love ought to be that same love that God has for all of mankind, no matter what situation or scenario they find themselves in. Whether they're those who are in need, whether they are those who are blind, whether they are those who are poor and are thirsty and are hungry, who are rich and have great wealth and have everything that there is. God's desire is for the heart of man. Then our desire ought to be for the heart of man as well. Amen? Then our desire ought to be for the heart of man. We see in the New Testament over and over and over again a continual push and promotion for being able to help those who are in need. Jesus Christ, what was he about? What was Jesus Christ about? What did he do? You look through the Gospels, and he's always going from place to place and meeting the needs of people and teaching them about the kingdom of God. Right? I mean, that's what he does over and over and over again. If indeed we are disciples of him, if indeed we are following after him, taking his example and following that through, then those ought to be the things that are important to us as well. Yes? Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's look at just one example of Jesus. Go to John chapter 1, 17. This, I guess, isn't an example as much as it is just the truth of what he was about and the things that he did. John chapter 1, verse 17. It says, for the law, John chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. As we look at Jesus' life, we see him living grace and truth. We see him in the miracles that he performed. We see him in the teachings that he had. We see him in the interactions that he had with people. They were full of grace and truth. How many times is the word, and I don't know, so don't give me an answer because I can't verify if it's right or wrong, but how many times do we see Jesus going into a place and meeting the needs of the people, whether it was through healing, whether it was through raising them from the dead, whether it was through bringing wholeness of sight, casting out demons, feeding when there was hunger, Jesus Christ going into a place and meeting their needs and then teaching. And then teaching them. How about the woman that's caught in adultery? The men, the Pharisees bring her to Jesus. Jesus doesn't go and find her. The men bring her to Jesus. And they say, this woman's caught in adultery. Jesus Christ, rather than standing before her and pronouncing judgment, saying, wow, you really messed this one up, which is sometimes the attitude that we have, unfortunately, isn't it? We look at people around us and we see the sin that's in their lives and we say, wow, you really messed this one up. Rather than Jesus holding that over her head, he shows her and displays grace to her by not having her stoned. John chapter 8 is where you're going to find that. If you want to look through that, go ahead and write that down in your notes if you're keeping notes today. John chapter 8. Rather than passing judgment on her, rather than allowing those men who have brought her to stone her, which they were in authority to be able to do by the command that they were under of the law, Jesus instead brings forth the grace and says, he who has no sin in his life, let him cast the first stone. Remember that from John chapter 8? You see, Jesus displayed grace to her. She was a sinner. She messed up. Not once. She was a sinner. But Jesus, rather than condemning her, was full of grace and truth. And he displays that grace to her. He displays that grace to her. But the account doesn't end at Jesus saying that he does not condemn her. The account doesn't end at that. That account ends by Jesus saying to her, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus didn't only display grace. He didn't only love her. He didn't only show compassion, but he also shared with her truth. He shared with her truth, the importance of her changing that life that she had been living in, the importance of her leaving that sin which had plagued her life for so long. He not only displayed truth, he didn't just love her, he didn't just give that which she needed, that compassion, that grace, that taking away the condemnation of the other people. He not only gave her the things that she needed, but he also gave her the truth that she needed by saying, go and sin no more. See, he's that perfect example for us. And so for us in our lives, sometimes we can be very unbalanced with those two things. And so as we talk about things like missions and ways that we can be involved, we can become very heavy on, well, just keep giving money. Just give money because people need money for food and they need money for water and they need money for this. And we can become very heavy on that. And not touching the fact that there's truth that needs to be shared as well. Or we can take the other opposite extreme, the other place which can become very one-sided as well, and say, well, all we need to do is just tell them the truth. All we need to do is tell them about Jesus and let them know that. That's all that we need to do. We don't need to feed them. We don't need to clothe them. We'll let somebody else take care of that. We just need to tell them about Jesus. You see, we can become very one-sided or the other. When Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth and displayed that by the way that he interacted with people in need. And so for us to be in a position where we're able to bless physically, but we're also able to bless with the truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified, with the truth of the hope that we find in the Word, with the truth of changing patterns of behaviors or habits of sin. Being able to combine those things and meet the needs of people and then teach as well. Meet the needs of people, sharing that grace, sharing that love, but sharing that truth as well of Jesus Christ. When Jesus fed the hungry physically, he taught them as well. Right? When he feeds the hungry, he also teaches them. He doesn't just invite everybody over for a big banquet. Hey, we're having fish and bread. Come on over. Everybody come on, fish and bread. Enough for everyone. He teaches them as well. He's full of grace and truth, meeting the needs that they have, sharing the truth as well. And we have that opportunity. We have that ability, and we are able to do that too. Last week we talked about world missions. We talked about being able to make an impact in our world. By helping, by sharing, by bringing awareness. The thing with world missions is oftentimes we're not real connected with that. We're not real connected with that. Maybe we've given money to help drill a well in Mozambique. Maybe. And that's a blessing. That's great to be able to help in that way, as the Lord leads you in that way. But how much interaction are you having in the lives of people there? Well, certainly there's some trust and faith that we put in the organization that we're sending the money to be able to do that, that they would have that impact. But as we talk about missions within our own community geographically, we are able to have an impact into the lives of individuals rather than by being able to bless groups of individuals through other organizations. Now, that's world missions is a good way for us to be able to bless others in need. With our community missions, with our community involvement, we're able to bless people locally, and also have some personal interaction with them. Also able to build a legitimate relationship with them. Now, mostly this happens in our realm of influence, which we'll be talking about next week. But even in areas in which we're able to help today, we can help in our community by being able to meet some of the needs of those around us, at the same time having a personal connection with them. At the same time being able to share not only our grace, not only our love through giving, but also share our grace and love through the truth of the Word, through the truth of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Being able to have that personal connection, being able to look them in the eyes and bless them with our giving. Bless them with our love. Bless them with the truth of Jesus Christ as well. Remember last week? Everybody remember last week? That's good. That's good. If you were here last Sunday, you received in your bulletin a half-page insert that had a number of primarily websites, organizations with websites where you were able to plug in maybe if the Lord was calling you to some specific need within our world. You've got another insert in your bulletin today. And it is of, again, in the Grand Rapids area, different ministries where maybe the Lord is calling you to be plugged in, meeting the needs of children and teens, meeting the needs of pregnant women, meeting the needs of those who are in jail, meeting the needs of those who are homeless and hungry. There are about nine different ministries that are there with phone numbers and addresses. Most of them have websites, so you can do a quick check of who they are and what they're about. If you've got questions about any of those, feel free to talk to me. There are a lot of opportunities in our community where we are able to make an impact and to be able to help. Oftentimes when we think of missions, we think only of, well, I don't want to go to Africa, so I'm not going to be a missionary. I'm not going to have any involvement in that. Let's just set missions aside and skip the Sundays that Pastor Michael talks about missions, because I'm not going to go to South America and be a missionary. We're able to have an impact for the mission of God. We're able to have an impact in ministry within our community of displaying grace and truth as Jesus Christ did. These are nine of the hundreds of different ministries locally that an individual is able to be involved in. If there's something that you've done in the past and you just kind of let it go by the side, the Lord had really led you to that in the past, but you just kind of, it took up too much time and it got tiring and whatnot, and you kind of set it aside. If there's another one that you've been involved in the past, maybe it's time to pick that up again. Maybe it's time to be able to get involved in that again and remember the comfy couch. Get off the couch and put ourselves in a position of action. Put ourselves in a position of looking beyond ourselves and helping in the needs of others. Helping in the lives of others as well. Let's close this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore," verse 20, "we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In these verses, we find the truth of the life change that occurs in Jesus Christ. We find that truth of the fact that we, though we were sinners, are able to have righteousness and be righteous in the eyes of God because of Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God. That relationship has been made whole. But then as believers in Jesus Christ, we are then Christ's ambassadors. We are then taking the role and the responsibilities of Jesus Christ today. We then are to be living our lives full of grace and truth. As Dorcas and Cornelius were commended for the lives that they led and giving to those in need, giving to the poor and helping in those areas, may we too then have that same lifestyle and mindset, that same heart that God has for those in need. Not only helping in one way or another in their physical needs, but also being in a position and a place to be able to make and build those relationships with them to be Christ's ambassadors and share that truth of Jesus Christ. To be able to make that impact in our lives. Now, with many of these local ministry agencies, with many of them, we are able to donate that thing that is probably more precious oftentimes than money. And that's our time. With most of those, there are opportunities on a very regular basis, sometimes day and night, in which we are able to be involved, in which we are able to give ourselves and our time to them to be able to make a positive impact. Sometimes it's going to be in a way in which you have direct contact with those who are in need, and sometimes it's in the back stapling pieces of paper together. How fulfilling is that? It's not very fulfilling on its own, but in light of the fact that you're making a positive impact for the message of Jesus Christ and the lives of individuals in need, it's greatly fulfilling. May we have that same heart for those in need that God has. May we have that same motivation that Dorcas and Cornelius had, that their lives were noted as helping out those who are in need. May we take action and get out of the comfort of our own lives and open our eyes to the needs of those around us. May we take action and be those ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great God, we thank you for your love for all of mankind. We thank you for your gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we indeed are reconciled to you. I thank you that we have that mediator in Jesus Christ, that we can go to you and he intercedes on our behalf. Father, help us in our lives help us in our lives to have your heart. Father, we listen to you and we ask that you would speak to us. Make us mindful, God, of areas in which we are able to minister and areas in which we are able to display grace and truth. Father, help us never to be too comfortable in the one area, in the one place we are in our lives, so comfortable that we do not act. Father, help us as we consider missions across our world, missions in our local community, and then missions specifically in the place that we are in our lives. Father, help us to know how to balance those appropriately, meet your desires, the needs of the people around us. God, we love you and give you thanks. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.